Thank the Lord for the faithfulness of God. I count him faithful, as the song said, morning by morning. And I count him faithful to give us something for the services. I often tell the Lord, quoted over and over, my sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of God, who hath made me an able minister of the New Testament. We feel a great dependency upon the Lord this morning, and we desire that you pray that the Lord will bless his word. We're not here just to waste time. It's Sunday morning, and this is where I'm supposed to be, and put in my time like you would at a job and go home in the evening and that day is over. We're here. We're dealing for eternity. That's what we're here for. I believe that everyone that's here this morning is interested in their soul, interested in the eternal things. I have been burdened, if you will, the messages being concerning how to behave ourselves in the Church of God. And this little message has been dropped in the middle of that and may not seem to go along with that theme. So I'd like for us to look at 2 Peter 3 and 1 to begin with. And a portion of that scripture says, I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. I believe the Lord does this. He has to do it. This is life. This is our humanity. You and I can get so caught up with life itself that we oftentimes, I'm not talking about only spiritual things. We have to be reminded of temporal things, temporal duties. And so we have reminders. How many of us write little notes to ourselves just to remind us that we need to do something or a certain appointment? Because our minds are so full that oftentimes we would forget it and it would be passed up. It's the same with the Word of God and with living for God and living life itself. All along the way, we need to be reminded of some things. It's not that we don't know it. We know it. And the scripture, I'm going to read you one that says, you know it. But we need to be reminded of those things which we have already heard. 2 Peter then, the first chapter, part of verse 12 and 13 says, I will not be negligent to, and I'm going to insert this part in there in that word right there, always remind you, even though you know it, so it's right there, you know, even though you know it, I'm going to always remind you. And he went on and he said, yea, I think it right as long as I am in this tabernacle. So what does that mean? As long as I am alive, I'm going to remind you of some things. I'm going to stir up your pure mind always to remember something. And then our third verse that has to do with this little foundational thought, 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and verse 6. And it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So, when you hear messages that have been almost a repeat, remember that the Holy Spirit is saying, this is what I want, because I want everyone to be reminded in life and how to get to heaven. As we were ministering in the last few messages, we have been speaking about to the ministers, what the commandment is to the ministers. One of those commandments was that the minister was to feed the church of God and to feed the flock. But then there was one other scripture that I read, and I want to reread it this morning as we go on. It's in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter in verse 2, which simply says, preach the word. So important that we, and I think I said this as we brought that message, that we be able to come and not have fear of hearing something false. We need to come with confidence that the word of God is going to be preached. It went on and it said, being instant in season and out of season. And we take that oftentimes for being when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it. And we are human beings of the earth, and sometimes maybe we're weary, we're tired in our mind, and our mind might not be quite as sharp. There are times that we just simply have to rely a little bit more on the Holy Spirit than we do at other times, because our humanity is so involved. So we have this scripture that also encourages us, you still do it. You still do it, whether you feel like it or not. See? And then it says, and it says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So this morning, this is going to be sort of a message that will fall under some of these categories. I believe it is a message of warning to remind us. I'm thinking also how that the scripture plainly says that his thoughts are high above our thoughts, and his ways are high above our ways. If we can recognize our humanity and yet recognize that we are created of God, and the scripture also says that he created man and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and he became a living soul. And so when you were born, you're living right now. We all are. We didn't die at our birth. The breath that was given to us was given by God, and we don't always think about that, and we need to be reminded that God gave you breath at your birth, and that the breath that you breathe even today, be reminded he gives it to you. And then latter part of that scripture says, and man became a living soul. We're not as the animals, because we have a part of us that was God-given and will be required of God at the end of our life. We need to be reminded of that. I believe the Lord wants us to be reminded that we have a precious soul, that our soul is in our hands, that no one else is going to stand there to be a testimony for your soul. Only you. And if we are reminded that every day I've got a soul that is going to go back to God, it's God-given, and I'm going to have to handle it, I'm going to have to, because the scripture says, another scripture that comes to my mind we need to be reminded of is that we have an appointment. The Bible plainly says it's appointed unto man once to die. And then after that, We need to be reminded that there is judgment after that. Don't forget it. Don't just live life haphazardly and not remember you have a precious soul, you have an appointment, and there is a judgment. Maybe this isn't what you came to hear today. But all along the way, we need messages to remind us, to get our mind in the right channels, that we make right choices, that we live life carefully. I love that scripture, and I may not be able to quote it all, but Paul said over there, I believe in the Corinthians, he said, "Oh, what carefulness! Oh, what vehement desire!" Those two, there's a category of things that are given there, several things. Because you and I have got to be very diligent, to be very careful, to have vehement desire. It'll take that in order to make heaven, in order to come down to the end of my life. And you know that we're not taking anything with us, only my soul. So I say all of that and speak of warning. And I have said it to the congregation many times down through the years. I believe it's my calling, probably more so than any other scripture, has been impressed upon me as my duty. And that is to warn the righteous that they sin not. That's probably, when I die, maybe that could be said at my funeral, that was my theme and my duty to the congregation, to give messages to warn the righteous that they sin not. Let me see. Let's talk about next the parable of the sower and the seed. I believe the Lord has impressed this upon our minds. The fourth chapter of Mark, I'm not going to read it. We're just going to speak about the different types of soil, but we have a burden for one. The beginning, and by the way, Jesus taught in parables, and he didn't always give the sense or the explanation of it, but he did this one. So it's very plain to us that we have an understanding of what he was talking about. We're not left out in the dark at all. So I liked that. So the first one was the seeds that fell by the wayside. Seeds are so important. Seeds are important to life, naturally. Seeds that we plant allows us to live. I'm speaking about physically. But there are spiritual seeds that are more important than the food that we eat. And Job said that. He said, "I desire your word more than I desire the natural food." And so the seed is the word of God, and it is going out every day. Every day, God's word is being sowed in the earth somewhere. Why do I know that? Because God said in his word, he said, "I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And the scripture says that no flesh can be saved except the Lord or the Spirit draw him. And so if he's not willing that any should perish, and it takes the word or some understanding of the word in order to be saved, I've got to say that he is still sowing the seed throughout the whole earth. I don't know how. All I'm responsible for is my little corner of the world, and those that he puts in my path, that's who I'm responsible for. But I know that in my own little experiences, there have been seeds that have been sown that was just like this parable that Satan came and just took it away immediately and had no fruition at all. Didn't go past the hearing of the ears. I often would say to the children in school and in Sunday school, because the scripture says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And we've got ears this morning and we're hearing, but in order to really hear, you have to receive it. And I would say to them, let it go into your ears, but let it go down into your heart. And that's where we receive it. When we believe something and receive it, it's in the heart then. See? We may have it in our mind, and we may have some understanding of it, but we can have an understanding and not receive it in our heart. But the seeds that fell by the wayside, they were immediately taken away by Satan and had no good at all. And that is happening in our world far more than the good ground where the seed is finding germination. It went on and it said, then the next one was stony ground. This was a little bit better than the wayside because they were glad for the word. You know, you and I can come and sit under the sound of the gospel, and we can, I'm not willing to make anyone feel guilty. I'm just as guilty as anybody else. We can be so glad to hear the word of God. And we can even say, oh, that was good. And the next day somebody say, what was preached on Sunday? And how often do we have to really stop and think to draw it back to our mind? That's our humanity. But I'm telling you, the devil wants to hinder us from remembering what we've heard. But in this particular place, these people were very glad to hear the word of God, it says. But they didn't have any earth or place for roots to grow. And so it couldn't survive. We have to have the materials that will cause the nutrients, speaking of the earth, to be able to develop a root system that the plant can grow above the ground. But there is a root system that is not necessarily seen. This particular place, it also said that these people were easily offended. I want us all to examine ourselves this morning. You know, I'm not going to be there to say whether you were easily offended at the word, at the judgment, or whether you were not. But if you find yourself in a little place of being easily offended, even with people, there's something there that's going to hinder you, possibly even keep you out of heaven. So it all came under this stony ground, and the next one was the thorns. Thorns are, anyone like to work in the earth where there's thorns? You like to go out and walk on your grass and step on a sticker, and there's no pleasure at all in thorns and stickers, thistles. Now this is what happened with those that had the thorns. Because the thorns weren't there all the time or in the beginning. Something began to grow that took it over. That's what thorns do. They have a little seed. I will tell you something about my husband. He cannot stand, what's those things you dug about? He would spend hours digging up, what are they called?
Sandburrs.
Out by the road where nobody walked. He couldn't stand those things. And they would just multiply and grow and take over the grass. But his thoughts were, when I go over this with the mower, those things are going to get in the tires, and I'm going to carry them back up in the yard. And he would bring home buckets of these, where he'd dig it up from the root, and he would throw it away at home. He wouldn't throw it even out here for the seeds to take hold. Thorns are terrible. But this is what the word says. It says they heard the word, but something began to grow, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of there was a plural term there. Lusts. It's hard to say the word and get that S in on the end of it, but it's more than one lust of other things. Didn't say what they were. Just said lusts of other things. Choked. It grew and it took over and it choked the word. And then it said they were not, could not bear fruit. I want to insert this little thought here because I said they could not bear fruit. I had an experience one time, someone that I knew, they were in the congregation here many years ago, but this individual, we were getting ready to have a revival meeting, and this individual was not in agreement for the minister that was coming. There was nothing wrong with the minister. They just had heard something about this minister and it had affected them. And so here's what they did. They said this to us. They said, well, we're just not going to come to the revival. How many times have we quoted the scripture that in the mouth of two or three witnesses let everything be established? Let's do that with individuals also. So anyway, I left and I was very heavy-hearted after this statement had been made. And I want to tell you, something happened in that person's life and they could not go. And the Lord spoke it to me. And he said they would not and now they cannot. I believe that that is the same thing with how you and I handle the word of God when we refuse it, or we even allow other things to be more important than the word of God, and so we would not, and then we cannot. When the thorns have completely taken over, it will not bear any fruit. Cannot, because it's choked. And then the last one, and I'm taking this one from the book of Matthew because it says it just a little bit different. For the good soil, the good ground. And I know we all want that. Good ground requires some preparation. When you have a garden, or when the farmer plants his wheat, or whatever crop he's planting, he does not walk out there and throw the seed and that's it. He has taken his instruments and cut into that soil and allowed that soil to lay through a winter of frost and freezes and breaking it down and killing the roots of other plants. And then he comes in and he does something else and he does it again before he sows his seed. And when you and I plant our gardens, we prepare the soil. I know Lanita prepares. She has a big garden. We used to have a big garden. It was not something that you just went out and dug a row among grass and planted it. You had some preparation. And so for you to have good seed in good soil, you're going to have some preparation. And it says, they heard, they heareth the word. That means they received it. The next one says they understood it. That's the difference between the Mark account and the Matthew account. And you and I may say, well, I don't understand everything. We may not understand everything. But Sister Souter used to tell this to me. If you don't understand it, don't reject it. In other words, one person I knew one time said, well, I don't understand it, and that's it. I'm not going to have it. Just because there may be a portion of the Word of God or the teachings or the doctrine, and you say, I don't understand that. I don't understand why they hold that standard. Don't reject it. You will never understand it if you reject it on the terms that you don't understand it right then. So this is part of having good soil, where there's going to be a fruition in the land. It went on and it said they bore much fruit. So that's the difference. I would like for us to go back to the thorns. And I want to turn and read a scripture over in Proverbs, 24th chapter, starting at verse 30. This writer here said, I went by the field of the slothful. Did you know you have a field in your life? Your life is a field. My life is a field. And this one went by this place, and they saw that this person that was taking care of this field was slothful. You know what that means? Lazy. Sluggard. No energy. No motive. I'm not really putting forth an effort to take care of my field. And it said, and it was by the vineyard of a man void of what? Understanding. Do you see why it's over there? Why Jesus gave that parable and said that in the good soil, they had understanding. I believe that if this man had not understood but said, I want to understand, his field would have been kept up. But he was a man that rejected understanding. And then it said, and lo, what was the condition of the field? It said that it was grown over with thorns and thistles, and it covered the face thereof. And then I saw, and I considered it, and I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Are you receiving any instruction today by observing others? Do you have anyone that you have actually saw the end of their life and the choices that they made and how it all turned out? Have you considered it? Or do you ignore it and go your own way and maybe make the same mistakes and the same choices and fall in the ditch along with them? I have had a number of individuals, mainly in my family, that made some very unwise decisions. Sowed some seeds that turned out really bad. I was the youngest daughter in our family, so I had some older sisters that I could observe. And you know what? Even though I was not saved most of my young life, I still observed the fields that were in their life. And I would say, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to take those choices. I want to tell you today, there is a great danger. Be reminded of this. If you do not learn something by others' mistakes, if you don't consider it well and get understanding, if you don't do that, here's what the scripture said happened next. It said, I considered it well. I looked upon it. Look upon these things. Look upon them and see where it ended up. It says, yet a little sleep and a little slumber and a little folding of the hands to sleep. What does that mean? That means I've totally ignored the lesson and the message that was preached by the life of the slothful field. The one that was over a field and was slothful. I totally ignored it. And then it says, so shall thy poverty come. There's a great danger in thorns and thistles. But there's a great danger of not observing and learning the lesson well. Something will happen to you and me. I want to go back to the one in Mark. I want to talk a little bit more about the thorns. There is a scripture that says, and you know this, you've heard it, but I'm going to remind you what the scripture says of the last days. What does it say? Let me hear it from you. In the last days, perilous times shall come. What else? Well, we're not going to go there. We're just going to use that one. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Gives us a whole list of things that is perilous to us. But I'm going to tell you that one of the greatest perils for the saint of God, almost the greatest peril, are the thorns. Because it could happen to us. You may have learned your lesson well. You may have observed the field of the slothful. You may have considered it. And you may have said, I don't want to be that way. Maybe you wouldn't be that way. Maybe you didn't leave your family and leave your children and do this and do that was immoral. We're talking now about warning the righteous that they sin not. That there could be thorns that'll come over your life. That's just because we're human. And the first one is the cares of this world. You know what Jesus said? He said, I pray for these, but I also pray for those, you and me. I don't pray for you to take them out of the world, but I pray for what? Keep them from the evil that is of the world. I'm going to remind you of some evil that is legitimate things that we can allow to grow in our life and choke something out of our life. It will take over just like these thorns, and it's the cares of life. And I want to tell you something, everyone. I am preaching it myself this morning. We have had this building project for over a year. And I want to tell you, I felt a warning through the whole time. Every day I would pray like this, Lord, keep my soul in the midst of this. We don't know when we can be overcharged with the cares of life. I believe the Lord wants to remind us, step back just a little bit and look at my life. Have I taken time for my soul? Did you know it takes time to go to heaven? It takes time to have prayer in the morning. To meet a day without prayer is dangerous. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen occasionally. But if it's a consistent pattern of your life that you're not taking time for your soul before you go and face a world, it's very dangerous. I mean, that thing can grow up like thorns in your life, and it can choke even the desire to read the Word of God. And I want to tell you, reading the Word of God is not easy. If ever there was a book that was opposed to being read, this is it. Because you don't feel it entertaining. It doesn't attract your attention, see, like a novel will. So we place the book here and we place the novel over here. And which is it that you're most tempted to pick up and read? I don't have to answer it. I know. There's a thorn here, and thistles, and briars that can choke, and it can be legitimate things that you and I are doing. Guard your own soul. That song says, oh, soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise to draw thee from the sky. I have said in the past, I think, in these last days of peril, that there's actually many times more than 10,000 foes. It could be 10 times that. Could be 100,000 foes. You're going to have to guard your soul. Deceitfulness of riches. We all need money to live, to support our families. We need it. It's legitimate. The men folk have the charge of going out and providing for their house. It's a charge. Provide for your children and your family. But when it goes beyond, when you become more interested in building an estate or no a portfolio, if you will, that is going to make you feel secure, and I'm not against savings accounts. I believe God wants us to be good stewards. But I want to tell you, we can go beyond. And we can be deceived by it. And it can choke. And it can become our priority. And it can become what my energy is seeking after. And I'm not really giving that place for my soul that's precious. And it will become unfruitful. And the last one is lusts of other things. And possibly that is one that is even more dangerous. Because there are so many things today, in these last days, for my heart to lust after. That's not sin. It's simply things that will be greater than my desire for God. Be on your guard. There's things that you can lust after and fill your life with, and it will choke. It'll just choke it out. So that's the great danger. Time has gotten away, so I'm going to end with Psalms 39, 4 and 5. And I trust, not only for myself, but for you too, that we will all be reminded. Stir up your pure hearts to remember these things. 4 and 5 says this, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days. We all know. We need to be reminded. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour of when the Lord's going to come. It could be that there are people that are terminally ill. They still cannot predict the day and the hour. But they know what's coming. I've often thought that being terminally ill might be the best thing, because you have that space of time that you can examine your heart, you can seek the Lord, you can make sure of your calling. It's different than what we saw when we went up to Enid the last time for Sister Lillian's visitation. We came on a wreck. At first we thought a train had hit the car. We knew that no one could probably survive. We later heard the account. The man was driving down the road at normal speed. Here's a truck that came to a railroad crossing. There is a railroad crossing on that highway going into Enid. It is their law or duty to stop at a railroad crossing.
Certain
trucks, big truck. This guy didn't even see the man who stopped and hit the end of that truck, and that was the end of his life. And I want to tell you, my thought went back to 1 mile before that happened. He didn't know he had 1 mile or possibly 1 minute. And he was snuffed out. And that happens every day. And so the scripture here says, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. I believe the Lord wants us to know that life can be snuffed out in a moment. It's called a thread. Life is called a thread. If you've ever been with anyone that has died, been with them when they took their last breath, it is the most helpless feeling. You can't stop it. It's when that last breath comes, that's it. You can't call it back. That person, that soul is in eternity. That soul is going to be judged for the deeds that he did or she did in her body. There's not going to be a place over there that, well, God is so full of love, he'll surely give them a place of repentance in eternity. That's not true. You got to do it here. And it goes on and it says, behold, thou hast made my days just that long, a hand's breadth. A hand breadth. Maybe I said that wrong. Breadth. That's how wide. And I want to tell you, you young people, we, you know, somebody said this is on a stone at a cemetery. And it says, as you are today, something to this effect. I want what? Go ahead.
As you are,
so was I. I was once like that. I was alive. But as I am, so will you be. And so, you young people, there was a day that I was your age. And I well remember being your age. And looking at those that had the gray hair. And you know, I didn't think that I would. I thought the Lord would come before I'd get this old. But the Lord has not come. And now I have the gray hair. And you all have the babies and the young people and are looking forward to marriage. And life is going on and the cycle is going on. But the breadth of life is going to be the same. It's going to seem like a short time. Linda and I graduated in the same year. And we're going to be celebrating our 50th class reunion next year, next fall. Out of school, 50 years? Who could imagine? Lord, help us. I still feel like I should be young. Time went by that fast. Take time for your soul. Take time. Don't neglect the most precious thing of your whole being because you're going to have to give an account what you've done with it. Pray for me.